Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Good morning. My name is Shamali, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Google Lala's second quarter result conference call. Please note that today's conference is being recorded and will be available for replay. I'll now turn the conference over to Mr. David Gonzalez, Google Lala's Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us to review Lala's second quarter 2020 financial and operating results. The related press release was issued after yesterday's market close and has been posted to the investor relations section of our website, lala.com.mx. As always, we have presentation slides to aid today's discussion. You can find the slides in the same location of our website, along with an updated fundamentals spreadsheet. Participating on our call today are Arquímedes Celis, Grupo Lala's Chief Executive Officer, and Alberto Arellano, our Chief Financial Officer. Please move to slide 2. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that the discussion during the call today is likely to contain forward-looking statements. Forward-looking statements are statements other than those which are historical in nature. All forward-looking statements are subject to significant uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially from those suggested by the statements. It is important to also note that these statements include expectations and assumptions which will be shared related to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Specifically, there is significant uncertainty about the duration and impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. Lala's results could therefore change at any time, and the impact of COVID-19 on the company's business results and outlook is a best estimate based on the information available as of today's date. Please move to slide 3. Today's discussion will be as follows. Mr. Celis will begin with an overview of the current operating environment and provide an update on our efforts to mitigate the risks related to the COVID-19 pandemic and the assistance we have been providing to the communities in which we operate. Next, he will discuss the latest progress being made against our strategic priorities, followed by a review of Lala's performance by region, the market conditions in each geography, as well as an update on the main strategic initiatives underway in each of them. As is customary, Mr. Arellano will then provide a more detailed overview of our financial performance during the quarter, on both a consolidated and regional basis. He will also review Lala's current financial liquidity. After our presentation, we'll open the call for your questions. As always, I will be available for any follow-up questions you might have after today's earnings call. It's now my pleasure to hand the call over to Mr. Celis.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Please move to slide 4. Since the pandemic struck Mexico in mid-March, Lala's business has remained resilient thanks to our core strengths. In addition to operating within the consumer's food sector, which has proven largely resistant to the economic downturns in our geographies, Lala's brands are one of the most widely known and trusted in Latin America, and particularly within each of our markets. This quarter's results have also demonstrated that Lala is able to successfully generate revenues from a broader range of consumer segments, price point, and consumption moments. Consumption levels and preferences can vary, of course, but our consumer-centric business model enables our operations to quickly adapt to changing demand. Further, Lala's independent and extensive distribution network gives us access across markets and channels, enabling us to capture shifting preferences and capitalize on emerging trends. The backbone of Lala's success in this regard is our strong and resilient supply chain, from farms to the point of sale, guaranteeing product availability. Across Lala's operations and throughout our supply chain are extremely high safety standards that protect our employees, clients, and end users. Besides ensuring uninterrupted operations, these standards underpin the trust that consumers have in Lala's brands. In other words, safety is a key differentiator, particularly in today's environment. Our many strengths mean adaptability and a strong positioning within our markets, which protect Lala's margins and financial flexibility. Please move to slide 5. Over the past several months, we have implemented a variety of additional measures to ensure safety and protect operating capacity, as well as improve our ability to anticipate and mitigate emerging risks to our business. These measures comprise food safety protocols and practices that are now an integral part of Lala's culture in order to effectively operate in what appears to be a new normal. As I have noted before, the emphasis has been on protecting our colleagues, suppliers, clients, and of course, the consumers of Lala products. At the same time, we have maintained adequate financial liquidity. To date, our receivables have not been adversely affected in both the modern and traditional channels. Besides safety, our top priority remains the profitability of our Mexico operations. In line with our plan to stabilize this business, the margin expanded again sequentially. We were also able to reduce debt that was funding working capital in Mexico while increasing this type of funding in Brazil in order to reinforce the liquidity of that business as a precautionary measure. Please move to slide 6. During the quarter, we continue to help communities throughout Mexico that have been affected by the pandemic. Support was provided through Fundación Lala, increasing over 11% compared to last year, and primarily in the form of food donations. This included donating over 1 million liters of milk to affected families. In total, our aid reached 287,000 people in 60 cities across Mexico. We also supported local communities throughout the other regions where we operate, with food donations channeled through government agencies and local NGOs. Please move to slide 7 for an update on our strategic initiatives. All of the corrective actions we have been taking have not only improved the profitability of Lala's Mexico operations, but have made them more agile to effectively respond to the shifts in consumer behavior that I noted at the beginning of our presentation. I'm pleased to report that the right sizing and restructuring of the operations have been completed. The problems associated with prior poor demand planning have also been rectified across our product lines in Mexico. The changes we made have improved fill rates, sell-in and sell-out reconciliation, and product availability. Nonetheless, we will continue to calibrate demand planning to continually improve across these key areas. During the quarter, we also continue to optimize Lala's product portfolio, further eliminating unprofitable SKUs, as well as streamlining and refocusing our innovation pipeline. the costly problems with cheese productions are now behind us, effectively eliminating what have been substantial drags on the profitability of our Mexico business. The experience led to the formation of an internal waste committee whose oversight is focused on minimizing waste, implementing and maintaining lean manufacturing practices, improving inventory control, minimizing product defects, reducing wait times, and optimizing transport, all of which supports our strategy to streamline our Mexican operations. As you can see, the actions to accomplish these were numerous and extensive. These improvements were achieved in such a short period of time by keeping the management teams focused on the most relevant operational KPIs of the company. This will allow us to more effectively implement and obtain value from the investments we make. Please move to slide 8. As discussed on our first quarter earnings call, there was significant overinvestment in too many brands last year. We have fully scaled back and rationalized brand investments, enabling us to reduce operating cost and complexity once again this quarter. Product innovation is therefore far more focused now, freeing up funds for new products that have longer life cycles and offer higher margins. There is now a focus on the margin contribution of individual products with an emphasis on optimizing a product in terms of price, waste levels, and overall cost. Our stabilization efforts continue to pay off, producing another sequential margin improvement, which was 90 basis points higher this quarter. More about this later in our presentation. Lastly, on our strategic priorities, although we have been focused on these and other corrective measures, we have also continued to execute well the growth elements of our strategy. With a more focused and less complex innovation pipeline that leverages prior investments, we have been launching products that we identify as bigger and better. They include Lala Go, a portable breakfast food that is a combination of yogurt and cereal, and Griego Zero, a Greek yogurt with zero fat and no sugar. Please move to slide 9 to begin our review of Lala's second quarter performance. Branded sales rose 5.2% on a 3.5% increase in volume. Our EBITDA margin contracted 160 basis points to just over 10% due to year-over-year margin declines in our two largest markets, Mexico and Brazil. While Mexico's margin recovered 90 basis points sequentially, Brazil's margin continued to be impacted by the decline in food service sales in that market. In turn, these margin declines led to a 20% year-over-year decrease in net income. Working capital as a percentage of sales improved 260 basis points year-over-year, as this measure continued to benefit from negative working capital in Mexico, as well as improvements in other regions. At the end of the quarter, our leverage increased sequentially and year-over-year due to year-on-year decline in EBITDA. In total, short-term loans increased our consolidated cash position 2.6 times to ensure sufficient liquidity. Please move to slide 11 for a review of second quarter performance by region. In Mexico, volume drove our top line, generating a 6.7% increase in branded sales, Sales through the traditional channel and via big box retailers remain solid. As I noted earlier, buying behaviors are changing among consumers. Mexicans have been dining more at home, which has raised demand for milk, cheese, cream, and butter. Fewer visits to supermarkets have been offset by more purchases of bigger tickets per visit. On the other hand, the frequency of visits to mom-and-pop stores has increased as people replenish food for their immediate needs. As expected, sales of shelf-stable milk are growing at a faster pace, notably UHT Lala Milk and Nutri. Our market shares in all the categories in which we compete remain stable. Of note, the cheese category is gradually recovering its market share as we have improved our supply chain performance. Please move to slide 12. I would like to expand more on Mexico's margin recovery over the last two quarters. As you can see, second quarter EBITDA was just under 12%. OPEX on a normalized basis is back at appropriate levels. Our much improved demand planning led to improvements in freight operations and throughout our supply chain. Overall, the production and logistics sites of Lala's Mexico business are now functioning normally. During the quarter, our Mexico business benefited from reduced exposure to depreciation of the Mexican peso, as we had covered most of our dollar needs through financial instruments. Please move to slide 13 to review the performance of our Brazil business. The pandemic has resulted in similar consumer trends in Brazil, where branded sales increased 5.6% on a constant currency basis. For example, at-home consumption is driving sales of milk, requeijão, cheese, and butter. On the other hand, COVID-19 continued to depress sales at our food service business in Brazil, as expected. In April, food service revenue reached its lowest level, but began recovering gradually in May and June. As the country's economy continues to reopen, we foresee a continued gradual recovery in food service revenue. Like Mexico, demand for UHT milk rose during the second quarter, contributing to a negative price mix. The market's continuous shift toward the value segment also included higher sales of value yogurt. However, a noteworthy bright spot in our product mix during the quarter was Parmesan cheese. We have started to capitalize on last year's investment in additional capacity with increased sales of mature cheese. Our refrigerated dairy and cheese market shares remain on a positive trend in Brazil, as we have been able to adjust our portfolios in line with changing consumer trends in this country. Please move to slide 14. The shift in product mix to value products, lower food service sales, and suboptimal operating leverage pressured Brazil's margin once again in this quarter. It contracted 230 basis points year over year and 30 basis points sequentially. However, it was still well above the fourth quarter normalized margin of 4.7%. Raw material prices also significantly impacted EBITDA again, with raw milk prices rising nearly 9.1%, while the price of soybean oil increased 27% due to the real's depreciation. Although we made progress with our efficiency plan, reductions in Brazil's overhead were offset by costs related to COVID-19. However, EBITDA was supported by the price increase that we had implemented near the end of the first quarter. Like Mexico, improvements in Brazil's sales and operations planning also helped the margin and will be beneficial going forward. During the quarter, we continue focusing on the other elements of our action plan for Brazil, optimizing the product portfolio with an emphasis on reducing costs related to ingredients and packaging, simplifying distribution in Sao Paulo, while also increasing capacity utilization. And given demand levels in the food service market, we continue to right-size production in this area of our business. Lastly, on Brazil, as more of our inventory of Parmesan cheese continues to grow, sales in this category will make a margin contribution going forward. Please move to slide 15 to review our U.S. results. In the U.S., we maintain our financial discipline within this market. However, COVID-19 resulted in changes in buying behavior that adversely impacted sales across this business. Volumes in the drinkable yogurt category decreased. Lockdowns throughout the U.S. that have limited the store traffic depressed consumption of our on-the-go products. Like Brazil, the U.S. food service sector continued to be depressed, which impacted co-packing sales once again this quarter. As levels of at-home consumption increase more, this trend sustained growth of our promised land, Lala Crema and Lala UHT milk products. The U.S. EBITDA margin expanded 60 basis points versus 2019. However, there was a one-time benefit related to an expense accrual release in the second quarter. Excluding this benefit, the margin was 1.0%, resulting in year-over-year and sequential declines, mostly due to the loss of operating leverage. In addition to the cost measures we have taken, we are implementing a contingency plan to mitigate the impact of the additional expenses related to COVID-19 safety measures. Please move to slide 16 to review the last region, Central America. In Central America, a steady volume growth increased sales 1.7% in dollar terms. Across the region, economies contracted, with border closings among the factors impacting them. Lockdowns in Guatemala depressed sales in that country, while consumers throughout Central America favor affordable categories over others, resulting in an unfavorable revenue mix. Ice cream sales also continue to be impacted by the pandemic, while demand for UHT milk was also higher in Costa Rica, which drove sales in that market. EBITDA remained in line with our plan, increasing 10 basis points year over year and 20 basis points sequentially. That concludes my part of the presentation. I will now turn the call over to Alberto for a closer look at our performance, and we'll return for your questions.
Thank you, Archimedes. Good morning, everyone. Please move to slide 18 for a review of revenues by business segment. Across all of our markets, volume and pricing propelled LALA sales growth of 6.2% versus last year. As Archimedes pointed out, consumer preferences in Mexico shifted away from on-the-go products and toward at-home products like UHT milk, cream, cheese, butter, and LALA 100, contributing to revenue growth in the second quarter. This was also the prevailing trend in Brazil. On one hand, the regular retail business grew versus previous year. On the other, food service business, which represents over 20% of Brazilian sales, contracted as the pandemic paralyzed restaurants and hotels during the months of April and May, starting a gradual recovery in the month of June. All in all, sales in Brazil expanded 5.6% in real terms versus previous year. This growth was driven mainly by volume expansions in the categories of UHT milk, requeijão, cheese, and butter, as well as value yogurt. Increased at-home consumption in the U.S. drove higher sales of our Promised Land milk line, LALA Crema, and other UHT products. This was partially offset by volume contraction of our co-packing business, in addition to the decline in sales of the drinkable yogurt category. In Central America, quite strong volume growth in milk came at the expense of other dairy products, such as ice cream and yogurt, leading to a modest 1.7% growth versus last year in the region. Please move to slide 19 for a breakdown of our EBITDA by region. Following the different measures announced early this year related to cost optimization and projects driving efficiency in our operations, we delivered a second consecutive quarter of margin expansion. With a rational cost structure now in place and operations mostly at appropriate efficiency levels, during the following quarters, we will continue working to maintain and continue growing our profitable in Mexico. The shift in Brazil's revenue mix and the contraction of our food service business negatively impacted EBITDA. As Archimedes noted, food service sales began to gradually recover as the economy started to reopen. Finally, the price increase executed at the end of the first quarter helped us offset partially the rise in raw materials, such as milk and soybean. Although the year-on-year figures represent a 160 basis points contraction, sequentially we have achieved a 70 basis points improvement. That leads us to net income on slide 20. The margin declines in Mexico and Brazil resulted in a 15.5% decrease in operating income and in turn a 22% decline in net income. For the second quarter, our bottom line benefited from lower interest expenses versus last year. More about the latter in a moment. In line with the sequential recovery of our EBITDA, net income increased 62% versus last quarter. Please move to slide 21 for an update on LALA's debt profile. Our short-term debt is made up of drawn credit revolvers and our next major maturity of 3 billion pesos due in April of next year. During the quarter, we drew upon our credit lines in Brazil as a precautionary measure. This was offset by a reduction of our short-term obligations in Mexico due to a reduced liquidity risk from a proven business resilience in April, May, and June. At the end of the quarter, we maintain a comfortable cash position of 4.6 billion pesos. For the time being, our share repurchase program remains suspended. In terms of FX exposure, both businesses remain partially hedged, having benefited from a strong FX coverage throughout the first semester of the year. Our cost of debt has fallen 146 basis points to a weighted average of 6.7%, as central banks in Mexico and Brazil have continued cutting interest rates. Please move to slide 22. Lala's leverage remained well above our target of 2.5 times, a function of higher net debt levels and lower EBITDA in the quarter. We remain committed to achieving this target within the next years. As we advance towards the end of this year, we will be leaving behind 2019 fourth quarter results that is negatively affecting this ratio. Please move to slide 23. We continue to be highly efficient with working capital. As a percentage of sales, consolidated working capital improved 220 basis points year over year, with Brazil, US, and CAM showing improvements in their cash conversion cycles, following Mexico's example. As you can see in slide 24, working capital was again negative in Mexico. Please move to slide 25. Return on invested capital continues to drive our CapEx decisions, and we're maintaining financial discipline throughout our business. For the first half of the year, capital expenditures totaled 945 million pesos at 2.4% of sales. We estimate that this ratio should be between 2.5 and 3% at the year end. That concludes my remarks on Lala's second quarter results. Before we open the call to questions, Archimedes has a few closing remarks. Archimedes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Beto. I would like to summarize and put into context our second quarter performance and achievements. Although the exact duration and impact of the COVID-19 pandemic in our markets remains unknown, Lala is a resilient company in many ways. From its broad portfolio of widely known and trusted brands, to our distribution muscle, to our more agile and efficient production capabilities, all of which is supported by a solid balance sheet and position as well for the expected recovery of each regional economy. Lala's resilience is reflected in the higher volumes that drove our solid sales performance during the quarter, while the actions we have taken to right-size our operations and streamline our product portfolios continue to improve profitability. Further, we continue to be highly efficient with working capital, and our strong balance sheet gives us the flexibility to continue executing our strategic plan to drive profitable growth in a sustainable way. And finally, the many food safety measures we have implemented will allow us to continue operating effectively in what we consider the new normal for the food and beverage industry. We believe they will also serve to strengthen consumer loyalty to the Lala brand and also represent another competitive advantage in each of our markets. That concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, please open the call for questions.
And at this time, we will be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star two if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question is from Philippe Ucros from Scotiabank. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks. Good morning, Archimedes, Beto, David, and thanks for the space for questions. Congrats on the results in Brazil. They were a lot better than we expected. So let me start with a question around Brazil. Obviously, last year you had some difficulties growing volumes throughout most of the year, if I remember correctly. I think volumes were negative about 3 of the 4 quarters. And this year, with a lot of the business destined towards food service, you know, 20% going to food service, we thought we were going to have a lot of trouble this quarter, but it seems you've managed to pull off a very decent quarter given the circumstances. So I was hoping maybe you could tell us what you did differently or if there's anything special about the consumer behavior that's allowing this, because we didn't see a lot of positive demand from COVID in the first quarter, but it seems that in this quarter you are getting some pretty decent numbers. So I was hoping you could comment on what you did in Brazil and how sustainable that is throughout the rest of the year. And then I'll do a follow-up. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. Let me tell you that while our first priority is still Mexico, that doesn't mean that the other operations in the other regions are not important for us. So since the beginning of the year, we have been working very closely with our strategy and our operating opportunities in Brazil. So I can tell you that it's not a surprise. We have been working in mainly, I would say, two aspects. One is the operational opportunities, trying to improve sales, cost, reducing cost, and improving in general the efficiency of the company. And on the other hand, we have reassessing the strategy, understanding the Brazilian consumer, and utilizing the capacity of the company to take those opportunities in the Brazilian market and create a better company in general in Brazil. So as you said, it is a decent result in Brazil, considering the situation, particularly in a company where 20% of sales are in the area of food service. And as you all know, food service has been very, very affected in Brazil. But even though we have been able to manage that situation, and I think that now we are in a better position there.
Thanks, Archimedes. And maybe you can give us some details on what you did on food service specifically, because, I mean, 20% is a big amount. So the fact that you pulled off a positive volume means that you must have done something special in food service. What did you guys do to soften the blow?
Well, we could offset partially by looking at new, let's say, food service customers, where they even in the COVID scenario, they are still operating. So previously we had a group of customers, and the majority of them stopped their activities. But some others, like for example, food service at supermarkets, where we were not participating, we focus on them, and also we look for other new customers that were still operating under these conditions. So by doing that, we were able to compensate partially, again, a portion of those food service sales.
Great, very, very good color. And then maybe I can ask a follow-up on the debt side of the equation. It seems so about 30% of the debt is short-term. And obviously, leverage will still go up a little bit the next quarter because from the calculation, you're going to lose the best quarter of last year. So how high do you expect leverage to go next quarter? And how's the conversation going with banks around covenants, around how much of the debt is coming due? And also, I wanted to ask how much more benefit you expect from the adjustment in rates, because clearly the cost of debt has come down significantly. Thank you.
Hola, Felipe.
Thanks for the question. So couple of thoughts here, Felipe. First of all, yes, we will have a Q3 where we're going to be showing further pressure in terms of our leverage, but we will be roundabout where our covenants are. And we have, already arranged that with our current banks, and this is going to be, let's say, a short-term pressure. What is important for us now is to focus on the midterm refinancing part of our equation. We will be announcing tomorrow a new bond emission that would, focus on making sure that our short-term commitments are well attended and suited. And with that, plus what you were saying in terms of the potential still decrease of around about 100-150 basis points here in Mexico, should continue to soften, the cost of debt on that respect. To that matter, we continue to be obsessed by gradually moving towards a leverage roundabout of 2.5, which again should be able to achieve over the next couple of years. So that's a little bit where we are in terms of our debt profile.
Fantastic. Very good color. Thanks a lot.
Our next question is from Alan Alanis from Santander. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you so much, and good morning, everyone. Archimedes, Beto, David, I hope you and your families are well, and congrats for the results. I think they were better than expected. I have two questions. Archimedes, the first one for you, given your experience, handling different economic crises, and now with the combination of the COVID, what do you see in terms of changes of consumer trends ahead in Mexico and Brazil in particular? And which of the changes that you've seen recently you think are going to be more permanent or accelerated, like the comment that you had regarding UHT milk and so forth?
Hello, Alan.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank you for your wishes, and I hope you and your family are also okay. Well, as you know, this situation is completely different. I have been in the food industry for about 45 years, and this situation is completely new. So it's difficult to really make a forecast about how the market will behave in the coming months, because there are so many various uncertain factors that could change those trends. But I can tell you that what we have been seeing during the last months, and we expect to have a similar situation for the coming months, is that since the people are now eating more at home, the ingredients that normally are consumed in those occasions are growing. And I think that until we have maybe a vaccine that solves the problem definitely, we will continue having that consumer behavior of being afraid of eating out, and they will continue dining at home. And that's why fortunately for Lala, both in our main, particularly in our main markets, Brazil and Mexico, we have been able to identify those trends and to supply the products to the market that are demanding by consumers now. But you know, this COVID situation in some countries is being controlled. But particularly in Latin America, is not, and we don't know exactly how the situation will evolve. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I cannot give you a accurate answer to that question.
No, but that's very useful. That color is very useful, giving you experiences, and I appreciate it. Thank you. My second question is, maybe Beto can take it. It has to do with what do you expect in terms of raw material cost inflation going forward, because it's been remarkable how well you've been able to contain the SG&A and all the operating expenses. However, we continue to see some pressure there on the gross margin. And how should investors think of the raw material inflation ahead?
Yes, Alan. Hola again, and great talking to you.
Likewise.
A couple of thoughts here, Alan. The first one is, as they say in English, never spoil a good crisis. As you know, we were in crisis back in Q4. And for good and for bad, Lala started, I would say, with some very specific measures in terms of cost optimization and expenses reduction early in the year. We did that in December, January, February. So the reality is that we are now kind of surfing a little bit on those actions taken, and this is why our margin expanded in Q1 and Q2. So that's, I would say, that has nothing to do with the pandemic, but we were, a little bit acting in advance thanks to that. The second idea is, I would start speaking about Mexico, but we also were favored by a very good coverage in terms of FX exposure, specifically for the period of Q2. We were pretty much covered at a rate of 19.5 versus the current exposure of about 22.5. So that, that 20% depreciation of the Mexican peso didn't affected severely our Q2 result. Now, when we think a little bit further in Q3 and Q4, then we will be exposed to the dollar in that respect. And just to provide you a couple of insights here, if you look at our economic structure in Mexico, we have around about one-third of our cost structure exposed to the U.S. dollar, either because we buy some of these inputs in dollar and or we buy it in pesos, but with a market that is pretty much indexed to the dollar. And I'm saying that to say that we will have an important inflation in our cost structure in Mexico on that respect. So to kind of mitigate that, we are basically doing three things. One is to continue driving our cost optimization and expenses reduction plan. We have pretty much implemented most of those things, so we should be having that benefit in Q2. The second one is also driving efficiencies towards our supply chain, and also, as Archimedes mentioned, most of the hiccups that we have in the second part of last year are pretty much solved. But the third element is an element on pricing. We cannot, be able to compensate completely the cost of input costs without going and increase prices. And this is something that it's going to be obviously difficult because of the situation, but it's something that we are planning to do and execute that in a very planned and right manner. So that's the picture on Mexico. In the case of Brazil, the situation is a little bit tougher when it comes to the price of milk. Price of milk has continued to increase in Brazil. We are facing around about 10%, 15% increase versus last year, which we are compensated partially by pricing and other efficiencies, as you saw in our margin. But there's a lot of volatility and a lot of uncertainty on what could happen on the second part of the year in Brazil. In the case of the U.S., it's a little bit different. The equation here is the U.S. milk, fluid milk market has been very, very positive. There's a lot of supply of milk, and on the other hand, the contraction of the demand has pulled pressures down. So in terms of pricing in the U.S. cost of milk, it's more downward trend versus what we've seen in some other regions. So hopefully that answers your question, Alan.
It does. It's very useful and very detailed. Thank you so much, Beto. Thank you so much, David and Archimedes. And please stay well. I really appreciate that you took the time. Thank you.
On the contrary.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Ben Toyer from Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, good morning, Archimedes and Beto. Thanks for taking my question and all the color you've given so far. I wanted to start off with a quick follow-up around food service, obviously more relevant in Brazil. But could you give us a little bit of an idea on your expectation of a recovery? Also, if you could share how much within food service, what different sectors you're in, segments, QSR, and so on. You've highlighted like food service within some of the supermarkets that you've not been there, then you've moved in there. So how much of an opportunity do you have within the food service exposure to kind of recover? And then I would have another question on Mexico. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for your question. In the case of food service, I would start with Mexico to simplify the answer. That initiative is being slowed down because of the conditions of the market. As you know, in Mexico, food service does not represent an important portion of our sales. And that project, it was at the initial phase. So we are in some way slowing down that project in Mexico. In Brazil, the situation is different. And as I said in the previous question, we are reassessing our strategy in Brazil. And in that market, our position is different. So we need to focus in improving our participation in that business, in the food service business. And as a result of the COVID-19, we are accelerating all the actions necessary to recover that sales. That said, it means that we are looking for new customers. We have a traditional number of customers that we were serving previously, and now we, because of this situation, we are looking all types of customers, including the ones that you mentioned, to grow and to improve our presence in the food service in Brazil. That includes not only the existing. Taking advantage of the existing portfolio, but also creating new products for that business.
Okay. Perfect. And then on Mexico, and you've laid it out nicely in all the strategies and the initiatives you've been doing over the last couple of quarters, and I really have to applaud because you definitely delivered on the improvement, and it's nicely to see how on a sequential basis, things have gotten better. Now, with the crisis, where do you think you may have identified additional opportunities to improve and to actually make this business even better once you're out of the crisis? Has there been any particular segment within Mexico where you would not have done changes to without COVID, but now realized you can actually improve something? And where do you think something like that could potentially bring your profitability if we were to look 2 years out on the Mexican market?
Yes, let me start by saying that within the dairy area, in the previous years, Lala has been taking advantage, let's say, of the big components of that dairy market. And some of them we are, let's say, developed, but there are some others where we are not completely developed. I can mention, for example, cheese. I can mention butter. So there are still opportunities in the dairy area for Lala to grow. And also, if you look at our participation in plant-based beverages, and of course in cold cuts, mm-hmm. I think that the opportunities there are very, very promising for Lala, considering the capabilities of the company to participate in these categories. So with this COVID situation, I think that once again the company has proven that it's able to understand those consumers' needs, and not only to understand them, but also be able to adjust the supply chain and to move quickly to supply those emerging needs that the consumer is having now. And again, this analysis of the opportunities in Mexico has been also being extended to Brazil, where we are analyzing in a very deeply manner the strengths, the capabilities of the company to grow and to improve profitability.
Okay. And if you would have to look forward, where do you think with the initiatives and everything you've been doing on the right sizing and the operational focus you've put on over the last couple of quarters, where do you think profitability can turn out in a longer term horizon, 2-3 years out?
Well, in that aspect, I can tell you that even when we have been able to improve our operations, there is still room for more efficiency, and of course we will pursue to capitalize on them. I wouldn't say that it's only those opportunities are a few ones. It's distributed all along the operation of the company, both in Mexico and in Brazil. And we are working very hard to have a very efficient company in all the activities we make. So there is still room for improvement. We haven't finished.
Okay. All right, I'll leave it here. Thank you very much and congrats again.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Ulises Argote from JP Morgan. Please proceed with your question.
Hola, Arquímedes, Beto, David. So I think that the rest of my questions have already been answered, but I just wanted to follow up with you guys and see if we can get more color on the portfolio optimization you were talking about there in the prepared remarks. Can you give us maybe a little bit more color on how many SKUs you are seeing as unprofitable, maybe how many you have already taken out of the equation, and what's kind of the potential for additional SKU reductions that we could see in the coming quarters? Thank you.
Yes, Ulises, hola. Listen, on this respect, this portfolio optimization is part of the things we implemented also back in late Q4, when we were seeing that during 2019, we had a lot of innovation. We included additional SKUs that were not necessarily having a positive contribution margin to the company, and that had created a lot of complexity in our supply chain, both from the purchasing point of view towards our plants, and then obviously the delivery and logistics at the distribution centers. To give you some flavor on it, around about 10% of our portfolio is what we identified early in the year as things that should be eventually migrate to some other alternatives in our portfolio. And out of that, I would say that we are more or less halfway where we would like to be. As mentioned, the benefits here would be streamlining our operations, less complexity, and obviously also less waste product, as you saw we had in Q3, Q4 of last year. So that's a little bit of where we are here.
Perfect. Very clear, Beto. Muchas gracias.
Carlos.
And our next question is from Luis Yance from Compass. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys, and thank you for taking my questions. Two questions on Mexico, if I may. One is if you could talk a little bit about whether you saw different trends on volume growth between the modern channel versus the traditional channel, and whether those two are kind of converging as we go into the third quarter. That'll be my first question. And then the second question is also Mexico on labeling. And, you know, with labeling going into effect in the next couple of months, I was wondering if you could comment, you know, what percentage of the portfolio you feel could be at a higher risk of volume declines and maybe the initiatives you're taking to offset that potential decline. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. On the first part, at the beginning of the COVID, many mom and pop stores decided to close, and as a result of that, we had an increase in the mother channel, particularly in March and April. In May and June and for the days of July, we have seen that the traditional channel is now completely open, and as a result of that, we are coming back to the same balance that we had previously the COVID situation. So both channels are now running on a normal basis, I would say. There is still some negative effect in the case of convenience stores, but it's not something relevant.
Great, thank you. And how about labeling? Any potential impacts you might see?
Yes.
Going forward?
Yeah. In that sense, let me tell you first that we have been, of course, following these new regulations and new labeling, and the company is fully prepared to respond to that requirement. One-third of our portfolio is not impacted by the new law. And on the other hand, we have been working in the formulations of our products, of course, reducing sugar, sodium in several products without sacrificing the profile of the characteristics of the products to maintain consumer preferences. I can add that all those reformulations will help us to reduce the number of labels that we need to print in the packaging of the product, and we expect, to compensate by doing that. The perception of the nutritional value of our products with the new labeling, even though I would say that it is very hard to predict how this new labeling will affect not only us but I would say the whole food industry.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for the caller. Stay healthy, you guys.
Thank you.
And our next question is from Fernando Olvera from Bank of America. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Sí, Fernando.
Oh, great. Thank you. No, I just have a couple of questions regarding Brazil. The first one, I mean, can you give us an idea of how, I mean, so far in July has been performing, I mean, the retail channel as well as the food service? I mean, considering that food service seems to be more resilient than expected, or not as impacted as expected, and how are you seeing things going forward? And my second question is regarding your price mix. It seems that it was really strong during the quarter. So, I mean, I was just curious if this was explained only by the implement at the end of the first quarter or something more, and how is it behaved in the second half economic outlook. Thank you so much.
Yes. Hi, Fernando. So on your first question, if you look at what happened really on Q2, and as Arquines was mentioning, we partially compensated for the lost volume in food service through the channel of direct consumption. We saw a modest to strong behavior of the overall retail segment in Brazil, people as in Mexico, driving consumption at home and therefore going deeper in acquiring requeijão, fine cheeses, our Parmesan product line, but also very importantly, value yogurt. Value yogurt was something that we were not necessarily focused on the last couple of years. When you think about the focus of Vigor was mostly on driving Greek yogurt. This is a category that Vigor invented 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and we are market leaders there. And it was, I would say, the most part of the focus of our efforts in terms of driving the category and sales. Over the last 8 to 9 months, we have been also driving, I would say, our focus towards continue developing the pulpa or the pulp business in Brazil in terms of yogurt, and this has been, I would say, traction fairly well. So as to your question is, we have seen a gradually recovery of the food service business as well. So April sales were better than March, and May sales were better than April, and June sales were better than May. And what we've seen over the I would say, first couple of weeks of the quarter is that trend has been maintained. Now, as for the future, it's very difficult to predict what's going to happen with the Brazilian economic recovery on one hand. On the other one, very difficult to predict as well if the food service business is going to be getting back to pre-COVID levels anytime soon. So I would prefer not to venture on that front. But in all, we are seeing that part of the success of the retail business has been compensated or partially offsetting the heat in food service. That's what we can tell you, Fernando. And you're going to have to repeat me your second question, please, because your second question was not necessarily clear.
Yeah, sure. Just before moving to the second question, I mean, in that sense, can you give us a breakdown? What was the volume performance between food service and retail channel? I don't know if it's possible. I mean, just to have a better sense about their performance during the quarter. And just the second question was regarding your price mix, which was in terms of reals was kind of strong during the quarter. So I was wondering, what will be your, or how do you expect this to behave in the second half of the year?
Yeah, so on your first question, well, the reality is that if you look at what happened, for instance, in April, In April, food service completely paralyzed. So our sales went to, you know, to really minimum historical levels. Then in May, we shipped twice as much as what we did in April. And then June, we did even better than May. So that's what I can tell you in terms of overall figures from food service. And the recovery of that segment would completely depend on how the government and the society decides to open up, basically in the light of COVID-19. Now, to your second question, we mentioned something around having taken price increases in Q1. So even before the pandemic, we were seeing some pressure on our milk equation. This year, the milk overall, it's averaging around about 10% ahead of last year. And even when milk itself, in terms of composition of our overall cost structure, it's less important than what we have in Mexico, because in Brazil we have more value-added products compared to the overall portfolio in Mexico, where we sell and where we have an important business of milk. We still had an important inflation, and this is why also we went further with a very good execution of price increase right before the pandemic. So that's what happened. As for your question on what can we expect on H2, here again, I would not venture on telling you a number. What I can tell you is that we are doing everything in our control to make sure that we can at least maintain the margins than what we showed in Q2, both for Mexico and Brazil.
Okay, great. Thank you, Alberto.
Sure, Fernando.
And our next question is from Alvaro Garcia from BTG. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call. I guess you've spent quite a bit of time on sort of margin dynamics in Mexico. I guess when looking at margin dynamics in Central America, you mentioned that sort of Costa Rica continues to be the laggard there. So maybe if you could help with a roadmap for when we might see, you know, better profitability out of Costa Rica, or what sort of strategic sort of thinking you have for that asset going forward, particularly given its weight in ice cream. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your question. How Lala is impacted by the results in the different geographies where we operate. And you know that our primary focus has been Mexico and Brazil, but that doesn't mean that we are not taking care of the other two smaller regions, the U.S. and Central America. Normally, the way I analyze the situation in the when I arrived at the company, in this case, even when I was at Lala previously, the first thing I did was to know in a precise manner our situation in each of the geographies. And according to that analysis, we have been acting, particularly in Mexico and of course, Brazil, trying to improve on one hand, the operations, but also on the other hand, reviewing the strategy. In a different phase, but the analysis on Central America is in progress, and I would say that we will make the right decisions as soon as possible to implement the changes that the strategy will demand, to improve the size and the profitability of the operations of the company there. And that includes not only Costa Rica specifically, but also the other opportunities that we have in Nicaragua and Guatemala as well.
Okay, thanks. really appreciate it. Hope you guys stay safe.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Miguel Tortolero from GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, good morning, Archimedes, Beto, and David. Thanks for the space. I think this my first question goes to Beto. As for your operations in Brazil, despite the decent results this quarter, there have been some external factors that have made this region to overall underperform initial expectations since you acquired the business. First, due to reasons like meal prices, a weak economy, and now due to COVID-19. So my question is, should we expect any material impairment of the value of these operations on your balance sheet in the short run? And also, would you consider the divestment of this operation as an option? And the second one is just a quick follow-up on plant-based milk that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I know this is still a small niche market, but as you said, it is growing rapidly and dynamics in interest. And so just would like to hear, how do you see this market in, let's say, the next 5 years? Where's Lala standing within this market in Mexico? What are the efforts that are taking place there? Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Miguel. So in the case of Brazil, yes, absolutely, we have not been in line with what we said in the acquisition financials for the result of 2011-19. As you well said, we have had some headwinds when it comes to the price of milk, and as well as a much lower recovery than what we thought originally for the business. Now, having said that, when you look at the opportunity that this country has, when you look at where we are in this country geographically, which is pretty much centered on Rio and Sao Paulo state, when you look at the power of Vigor and the power of the brand, we have no doubt that when we receive a little help of the economy, and we all believe that this is going to happen in a couple of next years, together with the fact that we are redressing some of the strategy there on not only focusing on high-end products, but also driving consumption further on value yogurt, for instance. All of those equations, Miguel, make us believe that we will get into a good level of contribution and traction in the business in going further. We do have a strong confidence on the management there. We see that they are doing valuable things, especially now driving the sales and the top line and the bottom line further during the pandemic. So we have no doubt that it's really a matter of time. You have the opportunity, we have the brands, and we have the knowledge on that sense. So that's I'm very comfortable on that. On your second question on plant-based, the way we see it is a little bit, I would say, pragmatic. You know, this is a category that it's a little bit less than 2% of the market, both in Mexico and Brazil. And here I'm talking market, not our share, but market. When you think about some other developed economies, Europe, the U.S., Australia, and so on, this is a category that could represent between 8 to 10% of the overall market. In Mexico, we are, I would say, strongly present in this category with our brand Vita. We are the second most important player overall in the category. We're number one in, for instance, in coconuts and nuts. So here, the way we look at it is we have the portfolio, we have the brands to kind of surf the wave in case this happens eventually. If you look at the short term, this is a category that has been a little bit more, I would say, affected with the pandemic because the consumer would go to more ordinary or regular products for their dietary intake. But again, it's a pragmatic approach we have here. We also we have the brand, we have the capability, we are growing market share, that's the way we look at it.
Great, that's great color, Beto. Thank you.
Sure, Miguel.
And our next question is from Grecia Garcia
from GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thank you for the call. And can you explain us what is the liability management plan for this year? Are you taking any facilities with the banks, or are you planning to elongate the maturities of your debt?
Yes. Gracias. I didn't follow your first question.
Yes, what is the plan for... Yes, what is the plan for the liability management for this year? Because you have a lot of maturities in the next 12 months.
And okay.
I am worried about the use of the cash if you are planning to focus on the operation, or you are going to pay debt, or you are going to take any credit facility to keep it on the long run.
Yes, gracias. So a couple of thoughts here. The first one is regarding the short-term actions that we have taken. We were, we wanted to make sure that we didn't have any issue with our liquidity, both in Brazil and Mexico. And we went deep in what we called the liquidity loans. And we have, we got them at the end of last quarter. In Mexico, we have started to leverage down on that short-term liquidity, and we believe that we will be progressively paying that towards the end of the year. Now, as for the short-term, I would say, potential pressure that we might have on our liability, basically we have a bond of three billion pesos that will mature in April of next year, and we'll be announcing tomorrow, literally tomorrow, the refinancing of that part of our short-term debt, I would say, towards a more, I would say, mature profile of debt. But I cannot speak any further on that because we will be announcing that tomorrow. But that's a little bit how we see the short-term and the mid-term exposure.
Perfect. Thank you.
We have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I will now turn the call over to management for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator, and thank you, everyone, for joining our results call today. Thank you for all your questions. We look forward to talking to you on our next quarterly call. Please stay safe and see you next time.
And this concludes today's conference, and you may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.